when a shadow's always there, when you can't come up for air, when tomorrow seems to lead nowhere, and there's no answer to your prayer anymore. I wanna take away the hurt, but I just don't have the words. Let me hold you. Let me hold you tight. Let me hold you. Just let me hold you tonight.
The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Live on your radio, also live through our app, The Cure, on any smartphone, and our website, godisthecure.com, as well as social media. And just recently discovered the show is also being viewed and listened all over the world. We are broadcasting live from Miami through satellite, available in 35 radio stations among 11 states, and soon after the show on any podcast player, as well as next Sunday on Sirius XM channel 131, the Family Talk channel. This show deals with suffering and the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward despite any obstacle, with the help of God, who enables us to help each other. We provide testimonials to let people know that they're not alone, as well as experts and inspirational speakers that can also help. In this show, the testimony started with me, having been a survivor from child abuse well into young adulthood. I do believe we all suffer somehow, but with the help of God, we can be a source of healing for each other. For me, God was the only cure, but other forms of healing are presented as well to service everyone. Life is challenging, but there's always hope when someone cares. At least God does. Not the song we just played.
The song didn't play.
We didn't hear a song, but a song would have played called Just Let Me Hold You.
So we're going to play it some other time. We're having some technical issues, sorry.
And, of course, it's the internet thing. Everyone's using it. A lot of things are much easier said than done, guys. And this is inspired from Let Me Hold You, the words that I picked. A lot of things are much easier said than done, and there will always be days that are constantly hard, especially when the future's unknown and your prayers seem endless. Just know that is when God is telling us, let me hold you and let me take away your hurt. I will always hold you tight every morning tonight. We will always experience troubles in life, but what is a world without God? And would it be to be a better world with God in it? Try Robinson is a preacher cowboy who takes a different approach when it comes to practicing his faith in today's world. Try Robinson communicates with passion that embraces his diverse life experiences as the backdrop for the greater purpose to see the world changed for the better. At the very core of this cause is reformation on many fronts, a deep, authentic walk with God, innovative education, ethical, godly leadership, and living a sustainable lifestyle that leaves a positive impact on the environment. Driven by a strong faith and passion for the kingdom of God, Try has given the greater part of his life to Christian leadership. After a profound life-changing experience in 1980 while working among the Karen Hill tribe people on the border of Burma and Thailand, He and his wife made the decision that Tri would leave public education and enter full-time ministry. They served for 8 years as associate pastors for the Desert Vineyard in Lancaster, California. Florida's here.
Okay.
In 1989, they moved to Idaho to establish and build the Vineyard Christian Fellowship of Voice. Over the next 25 years, Vineyard Voice grew into a strong outreach.
Do you know that our dear friend Robbie is from Idaho? Robbie Dumour.
Nice. From a strong outreaching church with a membership of about 3,000 people. They have developed a 25-acre campus of facilities which serves the community around them as well as the world's poor. The movie Cowboy and Preacher by Will Fraser is produced based on Tri's character, coming in September. Tri, welcome to The Cure. You are now live.
Thanks, Amy.
Oops.
I appreciate it.
I can't hear you.
Oh, you can't hear me?
Let's see. Tri.
Try a little harder.
I don't know.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, you have no sound?
While we wait for Tri, I think we're trying to figure out the voice because for some reason we couldn't connect to the radio. Tri, who lives in the mountains, we couldn't see him on video.
Let's try.
And when we were able to connect to the radio and we were able to see him on video, now we can't hear him talk. Thank you, Pickpocket.
Yeah, that's how it works. But let's do something old-fashioned. There you are. We're going to do the old-fashioned phone call.
Thank you, God. Okay, again, Tri, welcome.
Thanks.
Tri, can you tell us a little bit more about your story? You have a very interesting story. You take a very unique approach to spirituality. Can you summarize it for us? I believe you're a better source.
Celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary
this month. So,
nice.
But it's been a good journey, but it's taken us. I'm getting feedback.
Yeah, can you press there? There is a microphone. Can you press on it?
Yeah, let me.
So I can mute it.
On the video, yes. Right, there you go.
That might help.
Yeah,
try that. Yeah, there problem. You go. That's
perfect.
Thank you.
Anyway, it's been quite a journey, and now Nancy and I are retired. We've been retired from full time ministry, international ministry, and then pastoral ministry here in Boise for about 3 or 4 years now, and we're full time ranchers and trying to really practice what we've preached for so many years about sustainable living and about the Christian responsibility for creation's care and so on. And so that's what we're doing now. But as you mentioned, it started in the mission field years and years ago when I went to Thailand and Burma. In those days, it's called Burma, where we were working with Hill Tribe people. And we recognized we were preaching the gospel, and we were teaching English as a second language in these Hill Tribes, and one of the things that I recognized so powerfully then, and it really influenced and changed me, was the fact that when the environment goes, it creates extreme poverty. And one thing we knew as Christians is that if we have a responsibility, you know, as Christians, it's really to care for the poor, and therefore, we need to really be concerned about the environments that they're living in, especially if they can't produce food in those environments.
Well,
produce life.
I completely agree, Tri. But you're a very unique person. You were a teacher, and you loved teaching. But then you became a preacher, a cowboy preacher at that. But you made your own sustainable, life-sustaining, where you grow your own food and you you have your own independence. And I understand that everything that God has created is precious, and as such, we should take care of it and respect it. But how were you able to grow your own food, and where did you get these ideas? What was that pivotal point in your life where you felt this was the best way to go?
You know, when Nancy and I first got married in 1970, I had been partially raised on and inherited a ranch in Southern California, in the mountains of Southern California. And in fact, it's in the very place that this horrible fire is burning, called the Lake Fire. But we moved there, I was trained to be a teacher and was looking for a job, didn't have a job at the time. So we moved down to this old homestead that had been in my family for about four generations. And there was no running water, there was running water, spring-fed water, but no electricity. And so we really were living, had to learn to live with the land. We were about an hour from any town. And we just learned the joy of
just remember that you are a fighter, a fighter. You never know just what tomorrow holds. When you're stronger than you know, you're stronger than you know.
Hold on. Try. Can you just bear with me a second? I think we're back on with the radio. And I'm listening to music in my ears and trying to listen to you at the same time.
Yeah, okay, so.
Which is quite difficult.
So try, here's what I need to do. Can you go?
Just bear with me one second.
Hold on. Try, can you call the 800 number? I'm going to text it to you right now. Okay.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Okay, so that was the third song, and we don't know what's going on, but here's an interesting fact. Whenever we want to talk about God, or we're trying to do something good, at least my experience, when I try to do something good, something usually frustrates me. Something usually goes wrong. Something usually tries to discourage me. That pickpocket never lets it go. You know, so it's expected, guys. Just bear with me. Or you could just call it technicalities. Fine, let's call it technicalities. Difficulties.
And we have try back.
But we've got try back.
Okay, so you guys were talking about, I don't know what. Let's see.
Well, try. I'd asked you, that's a big leap. I mean, it's not that everybody gets up one day and says, okay, people find God and they want to share the love. They feel so happy about the great transformation that's happened in their life that they just want others to experience the same thing, and they become ministers. But not everybody starts growing their own food. So
I tried. I had like two plants of tomatoes. Does that count?
So, bring me into that world. Tell me what it's like.
Okay. Well, first, when we first moved down to the ranch, you know, I had been raised in church. So, as a Protestant, Nancy, my wife, had been raised as a Catholic, but neither one of us really had a real authentic relationship with Christ. And so through the solitude of living in that old homestead together, Nancy first, and then almost 7 years later, actually, I came to Christ in a very real way. And that's what led us to the mission field, working with the extreme poor in Burma and learning the heart of God for a broken world and for broken people. And so that was the driving point of my Christianity from the very beginning. And I wanted other people to understand what the rest of the world was going through, and why it was so important to have an authentic relationship with Christ before we could really actually go and bring healing to such a broken world. And so I got that firsthand experience of looking at extreme brokenness and people that were just trying to eke out a living. So that led us into full-time ministry. And first it was in Southern California, but then as you mentioned earlier, we went to Boise with a team of about 13 families, Boise, Idaho, from Southern California, and started the Boise Vineyard Christian Fellowship there, which was really focused on ministering to broken people. So maybe that bridged the gap for you a little bit.
Nice. And it's beautiful to have a compassionate heart. And, you know, just today I saw on Facebook, there is no God. Then where is all this love coming from? Where is all this compassion coming from? Where is this good driving force coming from? And he's more than real in my life and has proven it to me many times. How were you able to incorporate the environment holistically into your spirituality?
Well, you know what? My wife also hugs trees. She made me hug one too.
I love trees. So but, I made a joke. I said, if you hug a tree, you'll feel better.
But I did feel better. I did feel better.
You know, there's truth in that.
Oh, really?
See?
You know,
I did it
my
as a
story,
kid.
First of all, even hearing your heart, Amy, we're really living in a broken time. I mean, I think people are questioning God right now because they see, you know, if you think of the fruits of the Spirit's peace, patience, kindness, goodness, you know, love and self-control, these are all Christ-like attributes. And if you see the definition of love, you know, it's patient, it's kind, it's without arrogance, and we're living at a time where there is so much anger, so much arrogance, so everything is opposite in our culture right now.
And it's so easy to fall into it. It's so easy. It's always more difficult.
It is.
But it's so much better. It's almost so difficult to do the right thing, but it's so much better. I know what it's like the other way around, but please do continue.
Well, my story really started probably, especially when it comes to the environment, because I had always been living with the land and spending so much time in the mountains. I had a huge love for creation. I had a huge love for the natural world. And but there was a disconnect between that and the church, especially back in the 90s. Seemed like there were, you know, and I won't go into it, but there was a reason that there was this disconnect between especially evangelical Christianity and the environment. And there were these two camps that were developed, and if you were in the environmental camp, there was a tremendous pushback from the Christian world because it was seen as, you know, anti-God in many ways in those days. And so being a pastor with a heart for it was tough. So basically as a pastor, and a pastor of a large evangelical church, I just kind of for many years said nothing about it. I just kind of changed the subject and just preached the gospel. But around the year 1999, I had two adult children at the time, young adult children, that it was right around the Gore Bush campaign, presidential campaign, and my kids came to me and they said, Dad, we aren't voting in this election because we have nobody to vote for. And I said, what is that? What do you mean? And they said, well, if we vote one way, we're going to be voting against the environment.
Okay, Trey, we are going into a break. Please stay with us.
It looks like we're live.
And the Cure.
We are live, yeah.
We're back on.
And you said that I was done.
Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome back and thanks for listening to The Cure. We are never, the song that just played was Praying by Keisha, because it always reminds me, we are never done. How often has God proven Satan wrong? How many times did we make it on our own, despite being burned and thrown, only to discover how much stronger we've become as we had to fight for ourselves. Truth tellers are often put through hell, and to those naysayers, we say farewell. As long as there's a God, justice and peace will always prevail, and evil will fall just as well.
Wow, you're a poet.
Shut up. We're talking to Tri Robinson, who's sharing his advice on how to live a better life.
With more trees and more environment.
Try. I think it's lovely. I think it's lovely that you found a connection with the environment, because it's not about the science. It's all interconnected, all of God's creation. But what is it about you that they made, that they were willing to make a movie about you? You know, they only make movies when it's something extravagant, something amazing, something worth making a movie about. So give it to me.
Well, I was telling my story a bit ago. I didn't quite get to the point, but
right.
The point was is that my kids, who were young adults, by today's language, we would probably call them millennial at that time, older now, with families, but they challenged me. They said, you know, Dad, we have never heard any pastor, and they were raised in church, who has actually talked about creation care of the environment. And that this was back in the late 90s. And they challenged me to go to the Bible and see how much God talked about his creation throughout the Bible, and challenged me to say something about it from the pulpit. And so I did that. I read with a green pen, actually.
Love it.
I read through all the scriptures, and I highlighted everywhere that God commissioned people to care for his creation. And I go, man, how have I not seen this more clearly as a pastor, especially a Bible-teaching pastor, for all of these years? And so I ended up preaching a message. And one of the things we were talking about was the assurance of God, and how people know, how they become assured that God exists. And I mean, you mentioned a minute ago, somebody you saw on the internet said that they didn't believe in God anymore. Yeah. And in Romans 1, Paul writes, he says, you know, man is without excuse from knowing God, because he's revealed himself through all that he's created. Let me read it to you here, if I can. Let's see, wait a minute. And so I realized that, you know, as a pastor, I had been missing one of the most powerful points of evangelism. really, because there's so many people that they say, well, I feel God more closely when I'm in the mountains or, you know, in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And here's what Paul said. He says, for the truth about God is known to them instinctively. God has put the knowledge, this knowledge in their hearts. In other words, that's like Ecclesiastes says, you know, God has put the assurance of God in the hearts of men. But from the time the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky and all that God made. They can clearly see the invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature, so they have no excuse from not knowing God. So in other words, the creation is one of the most powerful channels to come into the understanding of the power of God and the presence of God and the nature of God. Because that's why we call it, you know, Mother Nature. It's really Father God's nature, you know. I mean, it's the
like,
nature of God that we reveal.
It's like a mother to us, really, because I always believe that God provided everything that we need. We may not be aware of everything that he's provided to us. Even our knowledge, even if we don't read the Bible, if we get close to him and we're open to him. And what if nature and the environment was therapeutic for us? At least it's for me when I go for a drive. And so we have to take care of these things because God, I mean, look at all the medicines that we get. We get from the environment, from plants, from herbs. I mean, it's incredible. God did not just give us a beautiful world, but we are a world within ourselves. And so...
You know, Amy...
Yes.
Well, you're right. You're absolutely right. And when you think of what we're doing to the environment, we're actually hurting human health, you know? Jesus, you know, he said that he gave us this commission in Matthew 25, you know, when he said, you know, I was hungry and you fed me, I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink, and so on. And they said, when Jesus, were you ever hungry, or when were you ever thirsty, or when were you ever in prison, or when, you know, when were you ever an immigrant or an alien? And he said, well, as you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. In other words, as we minister to humanity in these ways with food and water and you know, visitation in prison and you know, just opening our hearts and our lives to other people, we're actually worshiping. It's a form of worship in a sense. And it's not only that, because he said, you know, this was the separation of the sheep and goats. I mean, this literally was a deal breaker in terms of the Christian life, that as we serve in these ways of caring about the food that we're giving people and the water that we're providing, we're ministering not just to people, but we're ministering unto the Lord. And so, you know, you think about that. He didn't say to give polluted water and to give food that wasn't nutritious to people. I think he wanted the best. And
try
for that reason,
go ahead.
We need to care for these things.
And
go
you
ahead.
Say that many churches are beginning to create community gardens, especially during COVID. Do you think that's a good start? Could you tell me a little bit about Creation Care?
Yeah, I know at the Boise Vineyard, we have a large campus, and we have a huge organic garden. It's not just a garden, it's an organic garden, because the food that we give people in our community, especially people who are really struggling right now, really hurting right now.
Like, you mean like vegetables that really get spoiled in 2 days instead of being like injected with God knows what that stay like fresh supposedly forever?
And is it just vegetables? What if they're not vegetarians?
Well, they have meat, right? You have goats, stuff like that?
Cows. It's got cows.
Well, any food.
People don't eat goats, do they?
Yeah, sorry. Any food it should be environmentally pure. And the water we give people, you know, you think of Flint, Michigan, and some of these places. That's not the kind of water I think God really wants us to give to the poor. you know. He wants us to give the best and to care for the best. And if we ruin this earth, there'll be nothing to give.
Yep.
And we are. I mean, we are. We know that there's a, even with all the crisis that we're experiencing right now as a nation and as a world, it's really just the beginning in many ways of potentially a season that will be much more difficult, especially, I believe, one of the storms I see brewing on the horizon is world hunger.
World hunger.
And we're seeing but more as, and more.
As sustainable as you are, do you need to go to the grocery store or anything at all?
Well, I think you always need to, yeah. I mean, we do. Of course, we have to get staples and whatnot, but we know that the food that we produce is
healthy.
It's healthy food.
That's good.
Uh-huh.
But do you think this is a great idea and a great opportunity for you? But do you think this is something that can actually feed the whole population on Earth? Because we are a lot of billion of people.
And not all of us have
Let's
green thumbs. That's the thing. Not all of us have green thumbs. Hi again, and thanks. We will return. We would like to hear from you. Call us to share a good thing you did this week or someone helped you. Call us 866-34-TRUTH. God is good.
We will be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Oh.
With Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Hi again, and thanks for tuning in. We are live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern on your radio, on our app The Cure, and on social media. Just look for God is the Cure. God is the Cure.
Yes, later the show will be available as a podcast. Please look for The Cure, whatever podcasts are, and you will see it all the previous shows too as well. Like us if you like it. If you don't like it, don't like us, but please like us. And subscribe to it.
The song that just played was Beautiful by Mercy Me. If only we knew just how beautiful we are in God's eyes. How we are treasured, sacred, and loved when we are His. There is no greater precious gift than the love Jesus showed us when He laid His life for us on the cross. Please don't entertain the lies. Know that we are made for so much more than this. God gave us a heart so brave to love, fight, and take aim, but never miss. We are talking to Tri Robinson, talking about a better life.
Self-sustainable. Cleaner. There you are. So,
Tri, how can parents get into a conversation about faith and incorporate the environment as well? Not do one without the other. You know, families are these days are going to camp.
Well, now with the COVID situation, it's a little bit weird. Why we shouldn't let them go to camp? That's idiotic. People should go to camp. What do you think, Tri?
I think, you know, the more that we expose our children to the creation,
yep.
The more they're going to really see the connection between the creation and the Lord.
Absolutely. Amen.
Yes, because trees don't talk back to you. They're not mean to you. They don't hurt you. The environment's only beneficial. Come on, guys. Oh, why are we hurting
them? Unless you meet a bear. How about bear or wolf? Do they still exist?
That's
somewhere.
Well, we live in Idaho up here. There's plenty of bears and wolves up here.
There you are.
And
potatoes.
But it really was my children, in a sense, that led me to this understanding of the connection between the Bible and God's creation and how important it was. And I think today, in today's world, millennials, when they see the church push back on environmental stewardship, or they see the church endorsing anti-environmental stuff, they lose faith because they know that, for example, climate change, they know it's real. And then they see the church push back on that. They feel that Christianity is irrelevant.
Well, but the problem with that, the issue that I see with the climate change is the whole pushing of the concept that is too dangerous immediately, like we're going to die in 12 years, and then nothing happens.
It's a lot of fear-mongering. Man cannot control climate. Only God can. Well, I'd just like to leave that there. Yeah, okay, so let's talk about your movie. Let's talk about your movie, okay?
What's the name of the movie? It's Cowboy and Preacher.
Yeah.
Right?
A cowboy and a preacher. The two and two. I've never heard of a cowboy preacher.
Try.
But then again, I've never seen a real muscle-bound priest either.
Is that a gun in the back? See, there you are.
Oh, he is a cowboy. Look at that.
Let me explain that, because I'm actually not in the film.
Oh.
I'm this rancher. And there's this man, Will Fraser, who's from London, England.
Okay.
And he's actually in the beginning, and this is a true story. I mean, basically, Cowboy Preacher is a true story. First of all, he always had a fascination with the American West. And,
right.
And so he wanted to be a cowboy growing up as a kid. But he was also an organist in a large church in London, Protestant church in London, and one of these big cathedrals. But he didn't know the Lord. And he struggled because of this issue. He saw the world going into major environmental decline and was struggling with the understanding of why American Christianity was so anti, in his perception, environment.
Well, maybe for the same way that there's riots today, and they're destroying buildings and setting everything aflame, and because there is a lack of God in America. Is what it is.
Well, not only America.
It's not just Christianity, in your opinion, destroying the environment.
No.
But then there's people burning buildings and destroying and killing people. Wow. I mean, yes, we need more God in our life. Thank you very much. We need God.
The story I'm telling is really took place about, more than 10 years ago. And I was actually teaching a conference in Oxford. And he rode a bus all the way to Oxford to find me because I had written a book called Saving God's Green Earth.
Right.
In just about 2004, I think. And so he had read the book, and he came all the way over, and he actually was a film producer. And he confessed to me, he says, you know, this is one of the reasons I don't really know God, is because I've been so disillusioned with the church and its attitude towards the creation, his creation. And he said, someday I'd love to make a film about your life in the West, you know, of the United States. So I live up here on this ranch in Idaho. And so the film is really about a true story of how he came to Idaho to live on our ranch and to really spend time with my wife, Nancy, and I. And find the connection between the creation and a relationship with God. And the truth of the matter is that through this experience, he did. And that's really what the film is about.
One of the best times that I ever had was when I worked for the Environmental Fellowship in my college years, and I helped rebuild Cape Florida when it was destroyed by the hurricane, planting trees and things like that. There's something very beautiful in that. And unfortunately, sometimes we cut off our nose to spite our face. We don't realize that we're hurting ourselves or hurting our environment or hurting the world that we live in. And all we have to do is be, you know, just take care of ourselves and take care of our environment and be respectful of one another and be respectful of the things that God provided to us and be respectful of what God has created. And if we only prioritize that, then we wouldn't be having conversations about, you know, this climate change or that, you know, these things wouldn't be happening. You know, if only people put God first and gave equal respect for everything within normal confines, then we wouldn't, these issues would not come about.
Well,
and it's just a matter of education, of letting people know that, you know, everything that God created is precious. That's basically what it is.
You know, Amy, like, for example, the sanctity of life. You know, when you think of, a lot of times as Christians, when we talk about the sanctity of life, we're talking about the preborn. And just valuing, you know, life from that stage. But really, the sanctity of life isn't just the preborn. I mean, it's also our children and our grandchildren. It's all life.
Yes.
And if we live on an earth where we don't value God's creation, we're really coming against the sanctity of life, because really life can't exist if this earth doesn't carry on in balance. You know, we need to feed people. And like you said, we need cures. We need health. And all of these things are tough when you don't have healthy water, you don't have healthy air, you don't have healthy food.
We just need need to teach everybody to grow their own food.
Well, if it's possible. But anyway, we have only a few minutes left, so thank you, Tri, for being on The Cure. It was very helpful to hear your story and advice. And more information on Tri Robinson can be found on TriRobinson.org.
And Tri.
Thank you, Boris, and thank you, Amy. God bless you for what you're doing.
One more thing, Tri. We always finish with a prayer. But since you're a preacher, would you like to help us out with a prayer?
We have only 1 minute.
In 1 minute, one prayer.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord, and I thank you for Amy, and I thank you for Boris, and I thank you for their hearts for this broken world. I thank you, Father, that they care about these things so deeply. And the human spirit. And we pray that through them and through this work that they're doing, that, Lord, many would come into not just an awareness of you, but a relationship with you, a deep relationship, a healing relationship, and that you would just come by the presence and the power of your spirit through their words and their broadcast to bless all that hear them. I commit them to you and their station to you in Jesus.
Amen. Wow, that was deep. Thank you.
And God, please be there for all those who are suffering. Give them strength and give them comfort. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you also to our audio producer, Jasper, for being with us today. Don't worry, Jasper.
He fixed the issue.
You came through. And thank you for playing my songs. The show sounded good. Thanks to Robbie Dillmore, also from Kingdom Pursuit and the Christian Car Guy, for his continuing leadership, guidance, and his love for others, dedicated in his shows, which are truly informative, inspiring, and awesome. This is Amy Cabo. You have been listening to The Cure.
Please check our podcast, The Cure with Amy Cabo, our app, The Cure, or our website, godisthecure.com. Please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode and rate it.
Thank you to our listeners for being with us. And until next week, keep safe. Keep the faith. Don't lose hope. God is ever present and always for us. We are no strangers to tough times, but God has seen us through many trials before. God bless. Amen.
Amen. Until next Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern.
Thank you for listening to The Cure with Amy Cabo. For more information or to get Amy's book, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure, or to listen to the podcast of previous shows, visit godisthecure.com.
I think the destruction of the environment is the most important issue facing us all. And as a Christian, I believe we have an individual duty to protect the life of this world. What baffles me is that many Christians doubt the importance of protecting what we have been given. I know that at some point I will have to explain to my children why their world is degraded and what I did or didn't do about it.
The problem is sin, basically. It's greed. People wanting what they want, and wanting it now, wanting it for themselves, not thinking of future generations.
Therefore, I'm making a film that presents, in Christian terms, why we need to save the environment. If Try is the man to unite people around this issue, then who is he?
It seemed like everybody was an environmentalist in the 60s. We all had concerns. And that's where, really, we started hearing this thought, well, it's all going to burn anyway.
So we need to bring together Christianity and the idea of environmental stewardship.
Jeremiah had prophesied, if you don't care for the land, you're going to be taken into bondage. The first to suffer are the poor. If anybody's responsible for the poor, it's the followers of Christ.
I always thought Christianity was a verb. You know, it had to show action as its state of being.
There's been something in my heart, and that is to see the church move out in issues of compassion, justice, and mercy.
So the question remains, yeah, can we learn? Will we learn? Or will we learn too late?